If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at worldviewweekendfoundation.org. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.org. Thank you.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. My guest is Dr. John Whitcomb for Ask Dr. John. Many of you email in your questions in advance, and we send them on to him, and he has the opportunity to prepare a wonderful response. And then we also open up the phone lines for you to call in, but some of you don't want to call in. A lot of people listen to talk radio for whatever reason, don't want to call in. But we don't want to exclude you from asking questions to Dr. John, and so we let you email them in to us at info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com. Just put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. So we'll get to that in just a minute. Dr. John, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Brandon. It's always a privilege to share God's precious word with his people everywhere.
Amen. Now, we were visiting before we went on the air here about our time together 2 weeks ago it was a week ago this past Sunday night in Indianapolis, Indiana, north of Indianapolis, Indiana, your home church. And it was a great time. Thank you for being with us.
It was a great privilege. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you very, very much.
You did a fabulous job on evidence for the worldwide flood, and it was also nice to meet your wife and some of your children and your granddaughter, and just a joy to have you with us. And so we got the chance to see each other again after having not been together in about, I think it was about 33 years.
So a third of a century we hadn't seen each other.
We hadn't, and we videotaped it, our listening friends, and so we'll have that available in the coming weeks, and also in the Situation Room, but we'll put it on DVD as well. And even at the beginning of the evening, when I went to introduce him, I asked him to do what he, which is probably why I remember him. If he had not done this, I'm not sure that my twin sister and I would have remembered him, because, you know, we were about 10, and there was a lot of things that have gone on in our life. And so when we had a lot of speakers and missionaries and pastors come through our home when I was growing up, because my father was, you know, involved in at various levels of church leadership and mission boards and deacon and elder and all that, depending on the church we were in. And so we had the opportunity to have a lot of folks in our home. And I don't know if I would have remembered Dr. Whitcomb if he hadn't done this. And I think I've told you before, he called my twin sister and I over to himself, sitting on our living room couch there, and said he had an instrument he could play, but he didn't have an instrument with him. And he put his hands up to his mouth, and he played his hands beautifully, kind of sounded like a flute. I mean, we're talking beautiful, really beautiful. He played a hymn. And so I asked him that Sunday night, would you mind doing that? And I held the microphone, and he did that. And that is all on video. I think you'll all enjoy seeing that introduction and us reminiscing a little bit about that and getting to hear him play his hands. I think you played the Walls of Jericho, I think is what you played Sunday night.
Right. It's the handiest instrument known to man, Brandon. Amen.
Well, here we go. We got a list of questions. Let me get my reading glasses out here. All right. First question that came in. Your guest on 328 made a comment to which you agreed that being that we have wicked hearts and are so depraved. First, let me say that depravity of heart and wickedness flow from an unregenerate heart, Jeremiah 17:9. If you and they believe the comment made, then your error not knowing the scripture or the power of God, Matthew 22:29, they cite. The heart is the place of God, a place God has chosen to do his work. Has he not? And he cites Ezekiel 11:18-20 and a bunch of other verses in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. If you and your guests' hearts are still wicked, then you will not see God, Matthew 5:80 quotes. Jesus said that the heart is the field where the seed, the word of God, is sown, Matthew 13:9, Luke 8:5. And he goes on to talk about this. So basically what he's saying, please consider your words that you speak and how they affect those who hear. So the email is quite lengthy. He gives a lot of scripture. You've got the email. But he's saying that the fact that we acknowledge that the heart is desperately wicked, where do we come down theologically? Because Romans 6, Romans 8, makes the case that we need to reckon ourselves dead to sin to not walk in the flesh, but to line up under the authority of God. So even though we're born again, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, we're in sanctification and justification taking place. Is he right to say that we still don't have a wicked heart or a depraved heart or a depraved mind?
That is a very, very relevant question, Brennan. Very, very serious one, too. The amazing reality is that although we are justified by the grace of God and are counted, reckoned to be righteous before God, sinless and perfect, the actual matter of the matter, we do not have a perfect heart yet. We do positionally. That's an amazing thing. God counts us as if we were perfect, but the Bible makes it very clear we're not. Listen to the Apostle Paul, perhaps the greatest Christian who ever lived. Romans 7:21. I find the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, now listen carefully. On the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. And you know, the Apostle John says this too, as you know, in 1 John chapter 1, that if we come to God claiming that we're sinless, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We have to be very careful, don't we, Brandon, here? On the one hand, yes, we are counted righteous. We have the power to make the right choices by the Holy Spirit. But there will be a day when we'll be examined, evaluated by Jesus at the judgment throne of Christ. Only Christians will be there. It says some will suffer loss, they'll be saved, yet so is by fire. We have, in other words, a sinful heart, a sinful nature. Until when? Death or rapture? No wonder it's better to depart and be with Christ. We'll be sinless for the first time when we're dead or when we're raptured. That's a good question. We don't want to be obsessed with the fact we have a sin nature. We want to be on the victory side, but it's a choice, isn't it? Day by day, hour by hour, to love the Lord, serve the Lord, talk to him in faith. But we do have a sinful nature that we need to control by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and correct us and confront us day by day.
Excellent answer. I mean, isn't that what Romans 6 is all about? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I mean, Romans 6 is talking about that struggle
right
between dying to self, reckoning ourselves alive to Christ, and walking in our old way. I mean, that's what Romans 6 is about. I mean, pursuing holiness. I think Jerry Bridges years ago wrote a book called The Pursuit of Holiness. And it's a pursuit in this life. We're never going to be holy. We're never going to be sinless. We're never going to be perfect. We're pursuing holiness or pursuing righteousness because holiness is separation from sin. And we live in a sinful, fallen world, and we, again, battle the flesh. So, again, why would we have these passages that we've read here if indeed what the person who emailed us is saying is true? And I don't think we would. What about carnal Christians or backsliding? There's a lot of controversy in the world on that. I know some of my friends who I respect don't believe that there is a such thing as a carnal Christian or a Christian can backslide. Yet I know other Christians, authors, pastors, theologians who say, oh, indeed, Christians can indeed backslide. And of course, the issue is when you see someone falling into gross sin, is how do they respond to that? Is it something that goes on and on and on? Is there no conviction while they're doing this? They have no remorse for this? They're not completely unhappy and miserable as God and the Holy Spirit convicting them? Or do they just go along about their way having no problem with what they're doing? I think you definitely can look at someone who is living in an unbiblical manner and say, whoa, wait a minute, is there really fruit in their life, or was there a fruit in their life? They were truly saved. But there's a lot of controversy on the issue of whether someone can be a backslidden Christian or live carnally for a while. Where do you come down on that?
Well, John, the Apostle John, was the one he said that Jesus loved. If there was any Christian who's ever lived who was more loved by Jesus and was closer to Jesus, it was the Apostle John. Listen to what John said, though. He said, if we, including himself, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our what? Our sins. He, Jesus, is faithful and righteous to forgive us our what? Our sins, and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. John himself says, include me in this. I have a sin nature. I need to confess my sin. I need to. In fact, I can almost say, Brandon, the closer we live to Jesus, the more aware we are that we are sinful. Like Isaiah chapter 6, he says, oh, woe is me, when he saw the holiness of God. And I say, Lord, help me to be conscious, aware of my sin nature, but to claim victory day by day through surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, not to claim I'm sinless, but to be in close relation to him, that I walk in his light as he's in the light.
So a Christian can, quote, backslide or even commit gross sins, correct?
Absolutely. It happens all the time in the New Testament. In fact, why would all the letters of the New Testament appeal to Christians to confess their sins, to walk in the light, to speak the truth if they're all sinless? You see, it's a very dangerous thing in the New Testament to claim I'm sinless. And I'm wondering what this dear writer is saying. Is he saying he's sinless? And I say that's a dangerous position. We need to be very careful about that.
But you would also agree that if someone can just sin with impunity and never feel any guilt or remorse or conviction, that's a problem.
That is a very, very serious problem. Right. And so I trust that this dear friend will agree with us that we need to be very careful about what is in our heart. The heart is deceitful. Yes, even a Christian's heart. And I say, Lord, cleanse me. Purge me, purify me by your Spirit to walk day by day in your light. And I need help. I don't have it automatically. I need help every single hour of every day.
See if there be any wicked way in me.
Yes.
I mean, wow.
Amen.
Oh, number two, I have a question, says this writer, for Dr. John. I just dealt with this today again, and this is something that I've never quite sure exactly how God would want me to respond. Many times when I'm in the grocery store parking lot, someone, whether homeless or not, will come up to me asking for money. Sometimes I will purposely not take any cash with me to the store for this very reason, so I don't have to lie when I say I have no cash. But like today, I had a $20 bill on me and was honest and told him that the smallest bill I had was $20, but that I was not giving that up. I also did not feel compelled to go back in the store to break the 20. This man had a little dog and a boy with him on a leash with him, but I couldn't help but think these were just props. What is my responsibility before God in this instance? Do we make a judgment on a case-by-case basis? There are times I feel more compelled to give than others, but I'm not sure if this is from God or not. I know the Bible clearly states, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. But jobs are more scarce these days. But it also tells us that we are to entertain strangers because they may be angels. Is it possible that an angel would ask someone for money in this fashion? When I give someone money, I feel taken at times, but then if I don't, I feel I'm just being stingy and may have failed God's test. But there are other times I don't feel guilty at all, as there are so many scams out there, and I know of some of them. But this is something that I'm sure has bothered many people. I know that Christians especially have a desire to display compassion, but we also don't always know who to trust. I guess that's why we are to be as wise as serpent, harmless as doves. But exactly how to sift through all this while you're in the moment is beyond me, especially when it's just blindsides you. All right, well, that's a good question. Someone has got a very sensitive heart. I appreciate the question and how it's worded, and this desire to be sensitive to do what is biblical and right and pleasing to the Lord. So we'll get to that answer by Dr. John Whitcomb on Ask Dr. John. And you can email us your question for our next program at info@worldviewweekend.com. info@worldviewweekend.com. We'll be right back. The Worldview Weekend Situation Room is where members understand the times through a biblical worldview. Hello, I'm Brandon House. I want to tell you about the Worldview Weekend Situation Room that is always expanding. We now have over $6,000 in resources inside the Worldview Weekend Situation Room. We have 100 DVDs that you can watch on demand whenever you want. In fact, one of the benefits to belonging to the Worldview Weekend Situation Room is that when we produce new television shows, we produce new DVDs, we put them into the Situation Room, and they're available for you to view before they're even available on DVD. We also have over 1,000 MP3s, all of our radio shows since September 11th, 2007, as well as many, many of the keynote presentations from our Worldview Weekends throughout the years. We've ripped the audio off those DVDs and put them into the Situation Room as MP3s. We also have ebooks of my book, Grave Influence, Christian Worldview for Students, Christian Worldview for Children, Put Your Beliefs to the Test, Building a Biblical Worldview Verse by Verse, and Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 2. We also have the audio book of Grave Influence, 10 hours of my reading the book Grave Influence as an audio book. We're always adding new features, including recently new transcripts of some of our best Worldview Weekend radio broadcast. Again, it's over $6,000 of resources available to you for just $59.95 a year. You can join for 1 year, and then if you want to renew, which we hope you do, you can easily do that. But won't you consider becoming a member of the Worldview Weekend Situation Room, having access to over $6,000 in resources for just $59.95 a year? You can join at situationroom.net. That's situationroom.net. Or just check it out, situationroom.net. Thank you for joining the Situation Room and understanding the times to a biblical worldview, but also helping support us, because the Situation Room is a big part of helping us keep going and funding our general operating budget. SituationRoom.net. It's time to register for the 9th annual Branson Worldview Weekend in beautiful Branson, Missouri, April 27, 28, and 29. We have family rates and we have group rates. Again, the Branson Worldview Weekend is Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday morning, April 27, 28, and 29. Full details are available at worldviewweekend.com, worldviewweekend.com. Keynote speakers include Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, Mike Gendron, myself, Brandon House, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, backed by popular demand, Dr. David Noble. We'll also have with us Justin Peters, Chris Pinto of Noise of Thunder Radio, and Dr. Jerry Vines. Full details, video clips, all can be found at worldviewweekend.com. We also have there the hotels that we recommend. Again, this is the 9th annual Branson Worldview Weekend, April 27, 28, and 29. Full details at worldviewweekend.com. Don't forget, we do have family rates and group rates. Join us, won't you, in Branson, Missouri, April 27, 28, and 29 for the 9th annual Branson Worldview Weekend. Full details at worldviewweekend.com. Welcome back to the program. Glad you're with us. One of the ways you can interact with us is on our Facebook page. We got about, what is it today, 12,751 people. And sometimes the discussions are very interesting over there. Sometimes I have to shake my head, quite frankly. But other times, it's just, most of the time, it's wonderful. And there's a lot of encouragement going on and sharing of information and resources and iron sharpening iron. Other times, it gives you a real understanding of what's going on in the, quote, church, end quote, and what some people actually believe, what they'll embrace, what they'll follow. And it's interesting how sharp many of the folks, really Bereans, if you will, that are on our Facebook page and how they deal with these folks. It's kind of fun to watch. And a lot of times I don't even get involved in some of the threads. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But it's very interesting to watch how people respond, particularly those who you kind of get to know who are regulars on our Facebook page. And if you're a regular on our Facebook page, you'll recognize some of the regulars that are there. And it's really interesting to watch how gracious some of the more mature, spiritually mature, discerning Christians are with others who maybe are new Christians, or these are they're just coming along now and starting to eat meat and not just drink milk. And it's very interesting to watch the more mature, spiritually mature, discerning Christians coaching some of these other ones and giving them insight and scripture and links to articles. It's very encouraging most of the time. Now, there's a few times, I scratch my head and I think, oh boy. What is going on here with some of these folks that believe this or say this or think this? But most of the time, it's a real encouragement to just see how the true church is made up of people who are looking to be Bereans and looking to help others. be Bereans. And I just find the whole thing quite encouraging for the most part. And that's why I like our Facebook page and hope you'll check it out. All you got to do is go to Facebook.com, type in Brannon, B-R-A-N-N-O-N, House, H-O-W-S-E. There might be other pages under there with my name. Go with the one that's got 12,000, over 12,000, now moving to 13,000 followers. Click that you like it. That gets you in, and you can start being involved in that. A lot of great articles on a daily basis posted up there as well by many of you. I get some great news tips from some of you who do that. So I hope to check it out. Also, don't forget about our Branson Worldview Weekend coming up April 27, 28, and 29. April 27, 28, and 29, not too late to register at worldviewweekend.com. And Sunday night, April 15th, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Sunday night, April 15th, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Worldview Weekend. We usually do one there in the fall only, but we have such a wonderful turnout there, we added one for the spring for the first time. So April 15th, Sunday night, at the Doubletree in Bloomington. I'll be speaking on Romans 1, what has happened to the world, why and where are we going. Not only out of main text is Romans 1, but we have a lot of other passages we'll look at. We'll also be hearing from Mike Gendron. And in fact, I have friends who have said to me, I'm bringing my Catholic friend with me. They've agreed to come and hear Mike Gendron. So I would ask this audience to pray for our evening, Sunday night, April 15th, because there will be folks there who are being brought specifically and who have, quite frankly, I would must say, humbly and graciously agreed to go to hear a guy that they know was a former Catholic for 37 years who's going to share about why the doctrines and the teachings of the Church of Rome are not biblical and what is the true Jesus, the true gospel of the Bible. And so please, no matter where you're at in the world, and we have people listening all over the world, please pray for our evening, Sunday night, April 15th, as Mike Gendron and I speak, along with Chris Pinto, who'll be speaking on how we got the Bible in English, how it was translated, and really challenging people to say, hey, look, if we have all these millions of people who die to give us the Word of God, can we not at least take criticism from the culture in the world by defending it? None of us are at risk of being burned alive or crucified or choked to death or buried alive, as many of the martyrs were who translated the Bible into English. Can we at least then handle some criticism by defending the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, defending the inerrancy of Scripture, the inspiration of Scripture, proclaiming a biblical gospel, being willing to lovingly call out false teaching and false teachers? Can we not tolerate that if indeed millions died that we might have the Word of God in our language? So he'll be presenting that in a multimedia presentation. He'll be standing in front of a big screen, sharing this presentation live in person. All of us are live in person. So it's not, you know, we're not by Skype and we're not on satellite or something. We're there in the building in person, and there's time to visit with all of them. So again, it's Sunday night, April 15th, Minneapolis, St. Paul. You do need to register and print out a ticket. It's free. It is free, but you do need to print out a ticket. Because we were at capacity crowd last time, we're approaching that this time, but we do still have some room if you register today at worldviewweekend.com and print out your ticket, worldviewweekend.com, Sunday night, April 15th, Doubletree Hotel in Bloomington. And those of you who can't be there, we would really covet your prayers for travel for all of us as we travel up to Minneapolis and back, as well as the evening itself, that it would be honoring to the Lord, and that the Holy Spirit would move on the lives of both the believers and the non-believers who will be there. And what a wonderful thing that, again, some folks have said, hey, I'm going. I know what's going to be talked about, and I'm willing to hear what these men are going to say. And so there will definitely be some folks there that don't know the Lord, but are wanting to hear what is going to be said. So be praying for this very important evening, Sunday night, April 15th, Doubletree in Bloomington, Minnesota. All right, my guest is Dr. John Whitcomb. His website is whitcombministries.org, whitcombministries.org. You'll find him on Facebook, too, as well as sermonaudio.com. Dr. Whitcomb, the question before the break, basically summarizing, was people come up to you asking for money. You don't know when to say yes, when to say no. Would an angel ask us for money? Is it a test? Sometimes it says in the Scripture you might entertain angels unaware. This basically is the summary of this question that was asked. What say you to this dear person?
Why don't we start, Brandon, with following the example of the Apostle Peter. According to Acts chapter 3, he and John, the Apostle John, walked into the temple one day, and a man asked them for money, for alms, a handout. And Peter and John fixed their gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "What? Silver and gold have I none. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." Here's the point, dear friends. People don't need money. They need the Savior. And people who go out asking for money like that obviously have a desperate spiritual need, don't they? Sometimes, depending on the circumstance, you can say, listen, instead of just giving you money, I'll take you to lunch and we can talk. You can say, give me your name and phone number or address, and I'll tell you about a good church where you can be helped. They might provide you what you might need for your bodily needs, sickness or hunger or whatever. But the main thing, sir, you need the Savior of the world. Carry gospel tracts with you. Share them with people. And I say, Lord, help me to look forward to every opportunity to make a personal contact for Jesus Christ the Lord. Be very careful, friend, about just handing out money. By the way, it's not your money. It's God's money and should be used very carefully and very wisely. And I say, don't just hand out money. Don't. That is not the answer. You sometimes need to say, what is your real problem? And pray with them. That is my first suggestion.
So her other question is, would an angel do this to test you, or is God testing you? Your answer to that would be what?
Absolutely not. God doesn't ever send angels to test or tempt us in things that are not right.
All right, number three, does the devil have the ability to put thoughts into the minds of Christians? This is one I think we've covered before, but it's one that I get quite a bit, actually, so he dropped it in again this time. Does the devil have the ability to put thoughts in the minds of Christians?
Well, this is an amazing example. The Apostle Peter, none other, said one day to Jesus, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you, what, that you'd go to Jerusalem and be killed by the priest and the scribe. Don't you ever think, you sit down, you need counseling. And Jesus turned to him and said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Peter, for that moment, had Satan talking through his mouth, through his brain. And I say, that is an amazing thing, isn't it? But obviously, it was very temporary. Satan, demons can't possess a man. The Holy Spirit has taken the body of every Christian to be his what? His dwelling place, his temple. And he won't share his temple, his dwelling place, with a demon. No Christian can be demon-possessed, but can be what? Used momentarily by Satan. Now here's a statement very quickly. The Apostle James says in chapter 4 of his wonderful book, that we have an answer to this problem. And here it is. Humble yourself beneath the mighty hand of God and do what? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Now, that means, of course, that's a choice you must make. If you don't submit to God, humble yourself before God, you're not sufficiently resisting the devil, and he will not flee from you. The devil can, in some strange, limited ways, influence even Christians, but not, remember, possess them. He can influence them to say things that are wrong, to do things that are wrong. And the answer to that is what? Submit to God. Surrender to God. Walk with God, and the devil will flee from you. I say thank you, God, for that wonderful assurance and that great promise.
You know, I was studying on that verse in James 4, a few weeks ago, and as I was studying the meaning of those words, submit to God, I came to see that what it really means is to line up behind God's,
line up
behind Him, submit to Him, be under His authority, literally to line up behind Him.
Praise God.
So He's in front of us, He's protecting us, and we're submitting to Him. But of course, when we open ourselves up to problems is when we're not submitting to God. We're not lining up behind God. When we go and do it our own way, under our own strength, our own power, so we think we're disobedient, we're not walking in the light, that's when we open ourselves up to real problems. But as long as you're submitting yourself to God or lining up behind Him, He's protecting us. We're standing behind Him. We're protected. And then that word resist means to literally take your stand. So once you've submitted or lined up behind God, you just take your stand, confident in not yourself, but confident in who God is. Greater is He that is in me than he's in the world, and that God has defeated Satan. So submit, line up behind, submit to His authority, line up behind Him, resist taking your stand.
Amen.
Not based
and
on our
praise
power.
God for that promise. Praise the Lord.
All right, four. What is the purpose of the Great Tribulation? It seems to me, says this writer, that a person's understanding of the purpose of the Great Tribulation determines whether he believes in the pre-tribulation rapture or not. So what is the purpose of the tribulation?
Well, the sad, sad reality, of course, is this. The tribulation is an exhibition, a display of the wrath of God upon evil in this world, Satan, demons, and unsaved people. One moment after the rapture of the church, there are no believers left on this planet. And I say, Lord, this is an amazing thing, because people in that time were told in Revelation 6:16, will call for the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne, and from what? Listen carefully, from the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Now, God will not allow his bride, his church, to be a recipient of the wrath of God. That is one of the main reasons why the true church of Jesus Christ cannot be here in the tribulation period. It's a testing time, a time to display God's holy wrath against all forms of evil, Satan, demons, and men. And that is a time, of course, when the church will be in heaven being examined by Jesus at the judgment throne for what we have done or not done. But on earth, what is he going to do? He's going to prepare Israel and the Gentiles, as well as the church, for the kingdom that's coming.
And I want to continue on that, because a couple of things you said there caused me to have a few other questions. I think our audience also has. And so I'll ask those when I come back. And then in a little bit, we'll open up the phone lines for you. My guest is Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org. WhitcombMinistries.org. Our website, WorldviewWeekend.com. WorldviewWeekend.com. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you appreciate the work we do here through our national television broadcast, our national radio broadcast, and our free Biblical Worldview Weekend rallies, then we sure would appreciate it if you would partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, you can do so right now at WorldviewWeekendFoundation.org, WorldviewWeekendFoundation.org. You can also become a monthly contributor and set up an automatic monthly tax-deductible contribution right there on our website at WorldviewWeekendFoundation.org. We have lots of people who are listening to this broadcast all over the world through the Internet, but we also have many radio stations that carry it. And one way they carry it is because we have the help of the Worldview Weekend Foundation in underwriting that airtime. The same is true with our national television broadcast. That broadcast is put out there, but we have to help underwrite the airtime to carry it. We believe these are vital ministries for this day and this time as we teach the Word of God in context and apply them to the issues that are happening all over the world. If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at WorldviewWeekendFoundation.org. That's WorldviewWeekendFoundation.org. Thank you. I hope you'll join us for one of our Worldview Weekend rallies coming up in 2012. Our calendar currently consists of the following free Biblical Worldview Weekend rallies. St. Paul, Minneapolis, April 15th. And then we finish out the spring with Branson, Missouri, April 27 and 28 and 29. For the fall, we've already marked these as cities we're going to go to. We may add a few more. We'll start out the fall October 7th in Mitchell, South Dakota at the Corn Palace. Wichita, Kansas, October 12th. Des Moines, Iowa, October 13th. St. Paul, Minneapolis, October 14th. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Saturday night, November 17th. Rockford, Illinois, November 18th. That's our current Biblical Worldview Weekend Rally schedule for 2012. They're free and they're one night. They're for students and they're for adults. Full details or to register and print out your free ticket, the website's worldviewweekend.com. Worldviewweekend.com. If you agree with what we're doing as we teach people a biblical worldview, then we ask you to consider becoming a partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. You can do so at worldviewweekendfoundation.org, worldviewweekendfoundation.org, and help us as we put on biblical Worldview Weekend rallies free of charge all across America. Again, the foundation website's worldviewweekendfoundation.org, but to register for the free Worldview Weekend rallies, the website's worldviewweekend.com. Thank you. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Weekend Radio, our website, worldviewweekend.com. And again, I remind you, we're looking forward to being in Minneapolis, St. Paul this Sunday night. I say that because many of you can join us listening to this broadcast right now. You're within close proximity of the DoubleTree Hotel in Bloomington, Minnesota. Some of you aren't quite as close. You're over in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Some of you are listening on the station there. Some of you are listening to the station over in Rochester, down in Rochester, Minnesota. You can join us. That's not too far of a drive. I think some of our Toma friends in Toma, Wisconsin could even join us. Some of our friends listening to us up in Duluth, Minnesota. So plenty of stations listening all around. Puts you within a reasonable driving distance to Minneapolis, St. Paul. Another reason we've added a second Worldview Weekend rally there. We used to be only in the fall. Now we're in the spring as well. And so we're thankful for the fact we have well over 2,000 registered so far for Sunday night. It is free, but you do need to register so we know how to prepare. Otherwise, we don't put out enough chairs. And the last conference in October of 2011 was filled to capacity, and we want to make sure that we have a seat for everyone. So if you can register online, then that means we have a seat for you. And you can join us by simply printing out your ticket at worldviewweekend.com, worldviewweekend.com. It's free, and it's at the DoubleTree from 5 to 8:30. So 5 o'clock is when we start, promptly at 5 o'clock, and we end really close to right on time at 8:30, being aware of the fact that some of you are driving and do need to get back to where you're coming from, and some of you not being just from the Twin Cities. So 5 to 8:30, Sunday night, DoubleTree, Bloomington, Minnesota, myself, Chris Pinto, and Mike Gendron, all there in person to speak and then to visit with you. And again, if you're not able to join us, please pray for the evening, for not only what the Lord may choose to do that night, but also pray for our travel as we all are coming in from different parts of the country. Dr. John Whitcomb is my guest. His website is whitcombministries.org. He joins us about every 2 weeks to answer your theological and doctrinal questions, and you can send in your question to us in advance at info at worldviewweekend.com. Just put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John, info at worldviewweekend.com. All right, Dr. John, we were talking about the tribulation. What is the purpose of the Great Tribulation? You answered that question. Would you agree that the tribulation is divided really into two parts, the first part being the wrath of man, or that the wrath of the Antichrist, and the second part being the wrath of God? I've heard people describe it that way. Would you agree with that?
Only to some extent. Of course, the whole tribulation period is the wrath of God, and in various forms, and in increasing intensity, in fact, throughout the whole seven-year period. So it's hard to know exactly how to divide that, except to say you don't want to be there. You want to be in Christ with the true body of Christ now and not wait to see what's going to happen in that coming awful time of world tribulation.
Next question, a writer writes in and says, after the rapture, will people who have heard the gospel but not acted upon it have a second chance to be saved? I have friends and family who don't even believe in the rapture, much less Jesus being the only way. They have heard me and others speak about it. If the rapture happened today and they are left behind, will they be blinded and damned, or will perhaps the shock of the rapture turn them to Christ?
Friends, never say to somebody, God will give you a second chance. How do you know you won't drop dead immediately? I mean, every opportunity is second chance, third chance. All through our lives we have choices to make. And you don't say a second chance to someone. The chance is now. Believe now in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Because in the coming tribulation period, of course, there'll be horrible things happening, as we've mentioned. I will say this, though. Millions will be saved, but millions will die for their faith under the wrath of the Antichrist. Jesus said, if those days are not shortened, and they will be shortened to only 1,260 days of the wrath of God period, no flesh would survive. Only a very few people will survive that period. I would never say to somebody, oh, wait till after the rapture and then you can decide. No, don't wait for anything. Decide now. And I say, Lord, help me to be gracious but urgent to people, not to delay and wait for a second chance, 10th chance, or 50th. Decide now to accept the free offer of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ today.
Also, the Bible talks in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 11 about the great apostasy. There's apostasy, falling away from traditionally held biblical truths. We certainly see apostasy today. But the Bible goes on to talk about in the tribulation, there will be the apostasy or the great apostasy. So we think it's bad now, as far as apostasy goes, it's nothing like what it's going to be. And 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-11 describes how people will refuse to love the truth and be saved. For this reason, God will give them over to this powerful delusion so they will believe the lie. Dr. Wickham, is there reason to believe that those who will not hear the gospel submit to the conviction of the Holy Spirit today actually could find it much more difficult to find Christ, to yield their life to Christ, to yield to the conviction of the Holy Spirit during the tribulation because of the great apostasy or the apostasy and the strong delusion?
I find that a very, very difficult question to answer. Let me just put it this way. Millions of Jews who reject Jesus as their Messiah will be saved. So what do we say about that? I say, Lord, your grace is overpowering. It's just absolutely incalculable. We can resist, deny, reject Jesus, and amazingly, friends, millions of people, even in that tribulation period, will finally say, yes, Lord Jesus, I believe you to be my Savior. So we have to be very careful to say who has committed the unpardonable sin or can't be saved anytime ever. While there's life, there's opportunity to believe in Him.
Hmm. And, of course, we get that question often. What is the unpardonable sin? Is there only one? And we've discussed that before. The only unpardonable sin is rejecting Christ, correct?
That's absolutely right.
All right, let's see. Number six. Okay, here's a what-if question. Sometimes we take what-if questions, sometimes we don't. But this is an interesting one, and one I've actually thought of before. I'm sure others have, too. Well, this writer is wondering, what if Adam had not sinned? Eve sinned, but Adam didn't. Well, what would have happened?
Yes, that, of course, is an impossible question to answer. We could also ask this, wonder if neither one of them had sinned, or Adam had sinned and Eve didn't. You might speculate and say, well, if Eve had sinned, and she did, and Adam said, no, I won't follow you, who can imagine what will happen next? Maybe God would have taken her out of the world and given him a different wife. I mean, we can speculate on this. Wonder if.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, Lord, help me to be satisfied with what did happen and face the reality of what is happening and not just wonder what might happen if something else hadn't. Jesus, by the way, did know what would happen. He said, if Sodom and Gomorrah had repented, and I say, Lord Jesus, you are omniscient. You know everything that has happened, everything that's going to happen, and everything that would have happened if something else hadn't happened. But I don't have that authority. I don't have that insight. Help me to be satisfied with what you have told me.
Number seven question here. This person writes in and asks, why is it okay for men to have multiple wives prostitutes? I'm thinking what they really mean to say is multiple wives plus their concubines. I'm assuming, because this is a very limited question here that comes in, but I'm assuming they're referring to people in the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, maybe someone like Solomon, who had a lot of wives and concubines. Why was it okay for them to do that? I think the answer is it wasn't okay, but it did happen, but it wasn't okay with God. What is your answer?
Right. God allowed certain things to happen in the Jewish kingdom because in the ancient world, kings had harems, as you have said, multiple wives and concubines and so forth, and God allowed that, tolerated that, but made it absolutely clear that it was very, very sad, tragic, deadly. In fact, even Nehemiah said in chapter 13, he said, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin regarding these things? Yet among the many nations there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, the foreign women caused even him to sin. Now, you see, from the time of Solomon onward, it became more and more obvious by example. Look what happened to David's family. Because he had several different wives, he had tragedy in his home. The children hated each other, killed each other. It was an awful visual aid of what? God's will was one man, one woman for life. And later, after the Babylonian captivity, to my knowledge, no Jewish leader ever said a multiple marriage would be acceptable anymore to God. So God made it true by bad examples of the tragedy of multiplying wives, and I say thank you, God, for that object lesson.
All right, here's another one. I've never thought of it this way, but this is a really interesting question. This person writes in and says, Dr. John, it appears to me that Samson asked God to allow him to commit suicide. And God answered his prayer. Of course, for those maybe who don't know or listening, this would be the story of Samson pushing down the pillars and bringing down the house, so to speak, and killing a lot of folks. And, of course, he himself died as well. Very interesting question, Dr. Whitcomb.
Yes, Samson is a tragic story, is he not? Sin, compromise against the known will of God. He lost his wonderful opportunities. And finally, God had to deal with him drastically, didn't he, in discipline. And he lost his eyesight. And finally, this is a battle going on, a warfare, not what you'd call a suicide. Samson, in his final gasp of life, said to God, let me die with the Philistines. And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the Lord's and all the people who were with it. So now listen carefully. So he died. The death that he died, let me read that again. The dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. And he goes down in history as a tragic example, doesn't he, of a man chosen by God to serve him, but who failed, and ended up in a form of victory, yes, but in a tragic circumstance. And I say, Lord, suicide is never, ever allowed by God as his plan for solving anybody's problem. And I say, Lord, help me to realize that this is a sad example, not a model to follow anywhere in my life or my experience ever.
Hmm. Okay, here's one that's really important because we addressed it really on our program last week, and that is many within the Word of Faith and the New Apostolic Reformation teach that Christ didn't always exist, that God created him and sent him here to earth, that he wasn't really God incarnate. God was too God, too divine to come to earth, so God creates Jesus, which has got them creating a different Jesus, a different gospel. You got a different Jesus, you got yourself a different gospel. And this is the heresy of the Word of Faith and the New Apostolic Reformation. So this person's question is very good. Does Revelation 3 verse 14 teach that Jesus that Christ was created at the beginning as the first creation? Dr. Whitcomb?
Yes, the actual statement of this verse is, of course, and the angel of the church in Laodicea, to that angel write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, of course, this is Jesus. Now listen, the beginning of the creation of God. That means he's the one who established creation. How do we know? Over and over again, like in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and by him all things were made. He wasn't created. He wasn't made by his Father. He is the one who made everything. He is the beginning, the starter, the originator. He launched the universe. That's what that verse is actually saying. And, of course, the same idea in Revelation 22. He is the what? The Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the ending. And I say thank you, God, for this, for a Savior through whom the universe was made, as Colossians 1:15 makes it so clear. And I say thank you, God, for such a great Savior, our Creator and Lord.
So Christ has always existed.
Right. Amen. Forever and ever.
Our phone lines, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. We'll take your calls, your questions for Ask Dr. John, 1-800-347-9829. Are you concerned about the decline of the American dollar? Are you looking for a way to preserve your purchasing power since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913? Your dollar today has the purchasing power of 4 cents. Your parents paid less for their first house than we do for an SUV today. That's what you call inflation. John Maynard Keynes, a Fabian socialist, said the most popular way to implement socialism will be through the inflation of the currency. By doing this, we can steal the majority of the people's wealth, and not one man in a million will know what we're doing. Well, that's exactly what they're doing as they destroy the dollar. And as a result, gold and silver is going up. If you want to receive a free CD, a DVD, and 2 free reports on how to protect your assets with gold and silver, you can visit our website, worldviewtimes.com, and click on the banner for Swiss America, or you may call toll-free 1-877-864-1072. That's 1-877-864-1072. I'm pleased to announce the launch of the Worldview Weekend Online Academy. The Worldview Weekend Online Academy is over 85 hours of biblical worldview training for students or adults. Now, this Worldview Weekend Online Academy is completely different from our online Teacher Training Institute. The Teacher Training Institute is for those who want to become an approved biblical Worldview Weekend instructor and receive the curriculum. This course, however, the Worldview Weekend Online Academy, is 85 hours of intense biblical worldview training for students or adults who want to have a more accurate biblical worldview. Some families cannot afford the $600 to $1,000 plus the cost of transportation that many of these worldview camps cost. But Worldview Weekend, which is committed to biblical worldview training for many people at a very reasonable price, has now launched the Worldview Weekend Online Academy. It's only $149. We even offer a family rate and a group rate that gets the tuition down as low as $75 a student. This is a wonderful course for not only a family, but for a homeschool co-op, Christian school, Sunday school classes. In fact, church youth groups, I believe, should send all their kids through this training. If you want to take it as an individual, you can do that as well. It's for students or adults. Full details, and you can demo the course at worldviewweekend.com/academy. worldviewweekend.com/academy. Again, worldviewweekend.com/academy. The Worldview Weekend Online Academy is now online. Welcome back to the program. Glad you're with us. Brandon House here, Worldview Weekend Radio, our website, worldviewweekend.com. And again, I remind you, listening audience, about our being in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Sunday night, this coming Sunday night, April 15th, 5 to 8:30 at the Doubletree. I'll be there. Chris Pinto will be there. And Mike Gendron. It's free. It's one night, but you do need a ticket because we filled up last October, and we're going to fill up again this year. But if you can register and print out a ticket, you got yourself a seat. So please register online. It is free. Worldviewweekend.com, worldviewweekend.com. Join us if you can. Listening audience in Minneapolis, Rochester, Duluth, Eau Claire, maybe some of you even in Tomah. It's not too far. We hope that a lot of you can join us Sunday night, 5 to 8:30. 5 to 8:30 at the Doubletree in Bloomington, Minnesota. We look forward to it. Again, those who can't be with us, we covet your prayers that evening. Again, all the details at worldviewweekend.com. Worldviewweekend.com. Again, my guest is Dr. John Whitcomb for Ask Dr. John. And you can send us your questions at info@worldviewweekend.com, and we'll add them to our next broadcast. Put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. All right, let's go to line one, Mike. Mike, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Dr. Whitcomb, could you respond to 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul seeks us to desire earnestly the gift of prophecy and what that would look like today?
Yes. In the early church, you understand there's a transition time before the New Testament was finished, during which period it was God's provision that men, women, even under certain rare conditions, could speak for God through the Holy Spirit, but wait a minute now, also to be corrected, challenged if they didn't speak things that were true to the Word of God. It was very, very problematic. A very temporary situation in the early church, which is not available to us today. Why not? We have the whole Bible, and God has warned us, hasn't he? In the final chapter of Revelation, don't add anything to what God has said. And I say, Lord, I think I understand. During that early church period, there was an opportunity to hear directly from God under certain circumstances, speaking in tongues to praise God under very rare circumstances. And I say, Lord, help me to realize that you are performing spiritual miracles today, but not what? Miracles of signs and wonders and speaking in tongues and so forth. I've written a book on that, a little book called Does God Want Christians to Perform Miracles Today? That is, sign miracles. Possibly that'll be of help to somebody who is struggling with this question.
And it always had to be a known language, did it not?
I'm not absolutely sure how we can tell that for sure. Some of those tongues that were spoken could be in an unknown language. It's problematic as to what it was. We just don't know for sure.
All right. Let's go to Larry in South Dakota. Larry, thank you for calling in. Go right ahead, Larry.
Well, I have a question about, I'm kind of just curious how they both could be true. There's two different verses in Luke 24:43. It says, verily I say to thee, today I shall be with thee. You shall be with me in paradise. He's talking to the thief on the cross.
Right.
And then 3 days later, he said, touch me not, for I have not ascended to my Father.
Yes. Now, that is not a contradiction, because the moment he died, he went where? He went to Upper Sheol Hades, in the heart of the earth, which is called Abraham's bosom or paradise, where all Old Testament saints went when they died. But when Jesus rose from the dead, Ephesians 4, etc., tell us he took paradise, those people with him, to the third heaven, where Paul said, I was caught up to the third heaven, to paradise. So paradise is now in heaven, not under the earth, not in the earth. And so that is the biblical way to explain the transition time from under the earth, pre-cross heaven for saints, post-resurrection, Jesus took all those people with him to the third heaven, where he now resides with them in glory.
Yeah, fascinating. That's excellent, excellent. We was having this conversation with someone the other day. And also there seems to be from the Scripture's indication that Hades, well, Hades means death, does it not?
Yes.
Indication that the people that were in hell, or what would have been the holding place for that, could see over. There's some kind of chasm, and they could see over into heaven. And that's the parable that we have, the story we have of the rich guy saying, go back and send Abraham to tell my siblings, you know, or bring a drop of water on my tongue. There was a holding place, and they seemed to be separated by some chasm there, did they not?
That's right. Luke 16 tells that. But today, that is not true. The only ones who go to Hades today are the unbelievers. And that is a temporary place where they reside until what? Until they are resurrected, Revelation, the end of the book of Revelation, and face the great white throne judgment to determine their punishment according to their works forever in hell. And I say, Lord, what an awful destiny. I don't want to ever even imagine any of my friends or neighbors or loved ones going to a place like that. Help me to be a light shiner, a reflector for you, that people will be saved and not go to that lower realm ever.
Hmm. All right, let's go to Randy. Randy, thank you for calling in. Go right ahead, Randy. You're on with Dr. John Whitcomb.
Yeah, huge question. As far as people who know God versus just believing in him, how does that impact someone's eternal salvation? Because the devil believed in God.
Yes, knowing God and believing in God, in my understanding, is the same thing. When we know the Lord, we believe in him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what? Of things not seen. We can't see him, but we can know him by believing in him, trusting in him. Now, you say, how can that happen? This is how it happens. Human beings, not animals now, humans have what? The image and likeness of God. They were designed by God in such a way that they can respond to his word without seeing him. They can believe in him, trust in him, make the choices of loving him, and no animal can do that. But a human not only can, but must do that. We have his image, and when God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, there's a capacity within every human being, every human heart, soul, conscience, and mind to say, yes, Lord, I trust you, I believe in you, I love you. We have that choice every moment of our lives.
Let's see if we can get one more call in here. Teresa. Nope, Teresa's gone. My call screener has gone down. Gordon, who's the next call? That's it? All right. So, Dr. Whitcomb, we didn't give out the number enough because usually the phone lines are jam-packed, so I didn't give it out enough thinking we had plenty, and we lost Teresa. All right, Dr. Whitcomb, your website is WhitcombMinistries.org. Look there. It was perfect timing anyway. WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. You'll find him also on Facebook as well as Sermon Audio. Dr. Whitcomb, thank you for being with us, and Lord willing, we look forward to talking to you again in 2 weeks with Ask Dr. John.
God be with you, friends. God be with you. Thanks so much for the opportunity to share.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. Again, our website, worldviewweekend.com, worldviewweekend.com. We look forward to seeing a lot of you Sunday night, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Doubletree, 5 to 8:30. It's free. Register online at worldviewweekend.com. All the speakers are there live in person. Sunday night, Doubletree, Bloomington, Minnesota, April 15th, 5 to 8:30. Print out your free ticket at worldviewweekend.com, worldviewweekend.com. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, VCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you appreciate the work we do here through our national television broadcast, our national radio broadcast, and our free Biblical Worldview Weekend rallies, then we sure would appreciate it if you would partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, you can do so right now at worldviewweekendfoundation.org, worldviewweekendfoundation.org. You can also become a monthly contributor and set up an automatic monthly tax-deductible contribution right there on our website at worldviewweekendfoundation.org. We have lots of people who are listening to this broadcast all over the world through the Internet, but we also have many radio stations that carry it. And one way they carry it is because we have the help of the Worldview Weekend Foundation in underwriting that airtime. The same is true with our national television broadcast. That broadcast is put out there, but we have to help underwrite the airtime to carry it. We believe these are vital ministries for this day and this time as we teach the Word of God in context and apply them to the issues that are happening all over the world. If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at worldviewweekendfoundation.org. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.org. Thank you.